3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, joining in the dialogue and the discussion of the day as we face the issues each and every day. We are looking at a subject that I believe is fitting for the season in which we're living. Be ye thankful. I'm going to pause and let that sink in. Colossians 3:15. That's in the imperative voice in the Greek text. Simply means it's a command. Be ye thankful. That's the subject today. And my question is, are you thankful? What are you thankful for? How should we be thankful in the era in which we're living in? Ladies and gentlemen, we look at the national condition, we look at the serious difficulties and the failures across our nation today. It's easy to become pessimistic about the future, yet we're to be thankful, the scripture says. Is it possible this season to truly be thankful? When we look at the landscape of America and analyze what we see, how are we to be thankful in the season in which we're living in? We're going to talk about that today. I'm going to use several illustrations of what's happening through the Biden administration, through the attempt to destroy our faith, our families, and our freedom in America. And with that all being said and done, how should we view it? What should we do? Should we just toss in the towel, say it's all over? Should we gripe and bellyache? Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society today, I believe, as never before. We live in a society where it seems to be a majority of people unthankful. I believe we see the more God blesses us as a nation, as we look across the landscape of humanity, we see fewer and fewer people that I believe are truly thankful. I don't even know if the average American understands what Thanksgiving is all about. Today we've got more of everything we've ever had in America. We've got more food, we've got more clothes, we've got more technologies, we've got more national things to do, national travel and international travel. We have more churches today than ever in the past. And yet, there's more ingratitude today than I've seen in my lifetime. We'll talk about that today. The understanding of what causes it. What are we seeing? What's happening? And as we look at the issues today, as we face the issues each and every day, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. This broadcast is not based on a denominational dogma or philosophical rhetoric or some political jargon. We base the position that we take on the Word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." The truth of the word of God is not here today and gone tomorrow. The truth of the Word of God is not something that is to be debated or dissed or reject it. It is fact. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a profound statement. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see today that taking place perhaps more than in my lifetime and perhaps yours. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that America's decline is based on the death of truth. Among other things, DeMint said this, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And yet we find, according to the latest survey, some 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this answers the question, the dilemma that's in the minds and the hearts of so many today that are conservative Christian patriots in America. This answers the question as to why we see so many hundreds of thousands of the young people in the streets, on the college campuses, and the highways, and the town squares across America that's demanding Israel be removed from the map, to be taken off the face of the earth, and standing for the butcherers, the terrorists, the Islamic jihadists known as Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen, etc., etc. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day. I believe it's time that we seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it, even to death. And you say, how do we do that? We do that, ladies and gentlemen, even though we see things are dark today, we need to stand on the truth. We need to understand what God's Word tells us in relationship to truth. And part of that truth today is the reality that we are in and what we're faced with, and yet the reality of what the Bible says that we ought to do is to be thankful, to be thankful. We're going to talk about that further in the broadcast today. So right after the balance of the brief monologue, we're going to invite you to dial the number 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to have your dialogue and discussion. What are you thankful for? Why are you thankful? How can we be thankful as conservatives and Christians and patriots in America when we see the implosion of our faith, family, and freedom in our great nation? How do we do that? We need to look at what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, you'll find a wonderful benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very, very serious subject, a subject, an issue that I believe at this season of the year in particular, we need to do a heads up and understand what the scripture is saying to us. Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, be ye thankful. It's a command. We're ordered to do so. We need to be thankful, ladies and gentlemen. But the question may be asked, and perhaps you're asking that question. So I'm going to pre-assume some questions that you might have, and then we're going to attempt to answer them on this broadcast today. Remember, that telephone is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, how can America be thankful when we look at our nation's morals and ethics, values, Christian values, being assaulted and undermined in our nation today? Perhaps you're asking that question. I want to pre-assume some questions for us, and then we're going to get to how we can still be thankful. Looking at a headline, Democrats use hearings on religious persecution to target U.S. Christians. You would say, oh, I wouldn't believe that. Listen, this headline, Democrats in Congress are being called out for hijacking a hearing on worldwide religious persecution to put a bullseye on American Christians for alleged Christian nationalism. That's the new naughty word that's being used against Christians today. We're called Christian nationalists. This article says the director of the Christian of the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, who documented how U.S. Representative Maxwell Frost, a Florida Democrat, ignored the topic of global persecution entirely in his questioning of witnesses, instead pointing the finger at Christians in the United States. Further, the article reads, the House Democrats chose to highlight the contrived problem of Christian nationalism in the United States of America. Question they ask, are Christians and their beliefs the positive force that is holding the United States together? The answer to that question is yes. And that's one of the challenges, ladies and gentlemen, today. This article says that one person in that meeting claimed the single greatest threat to religious liberty in the United States today is what she considers a political ideology and cultural framework that seeks to fuse Americans and Christian doctrines called Christian nationalism. This article reads in final, says actually the term is mostly used as a smear against conservative Christians who defend the role of religion in American public life, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, are we Christian nationalists because we stand for the flag? Are we Christian nationalists because we stand for the truth of the Word of God? Should we be called Christian nationalists because we believe that America was founded on biblical, godly principles? Should that be a demeaning statement for us? I think not, but yet that is what is happening today in the society in which we're living in. There's a mindset that Christians ought to be second-class citizens in our great nation. So the point that I'm making, if we are commanded, hear me, if we're commanded to be thankful, how are we to be thankful in the midst of what we're seeing? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. I'm looking at another headline from the American Family Association. It said, do you ever wonder what life in America will look like in just 20 years? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought about that? Let me read you a portion of this article. This writer makes this statement in relationship to that question. It's Tim Wildman from the American Family Association. He says this, I'm not talking about political policies or technology. I'm thinking about the spiritual and moral foundation of our great nation. I wonder, he says, how far will our culture rebel against the core Christian beliefs and values that made America the greatest and most generous country in history? Will our children and their children be able to worship Jesus Christ openly and share the gospel with others? Or will the true church be forced underground? Will persecution of Christians become commonplace? Will the state become our all-powerful God? End quote. This writer goes on to say, I believe that unless God brings about a spiritual revival, or Jesus Christ returns in the meantime, America will be will descend into a godless secular state that will resemble communist China more and more than the freest and most envied nation the world has ever known. And there is no more glaring evidence of the validity of that prediction than the state of our public schools in America. He says this: if you live in a community where your public school has not been overtaken by the pseudo-Marxist educators, count your blessings. Be warned, the secular tsunami is headed to your town via the ubiquitous LGBTQ movement, corporate America, the liberal media, the entertainment industry, nearly every other secular entity, including the courts, end quote. I couldn't have made a more succinct analysis and statement myself. I believe that's exactly true. But with all that said, the question is, how are we to be thankful when we see these things taking place, when we see it happening on a rapid-fire basis? I'm looking at a headline: Christian leader in critical condition after being shot in the head just for preaching. People are following darkness instead of light. Dateline, November the 17th. A beloved religious leader was shot in the head Wednesday night while preaching the gospel in Glendale, Arizona. Hans Smith, a young father and outreach director for the non-denominational Victory Chapel First Phoenix, was standing at the northwest corner of 51st Street and Pura Avenue with his megaphone, quoting scripture and preaching to passerbyers ahead of the evening services. Around 6 p.m., someone evidently pulled a gun and shot him. It's unclear whether the shooter attempted the apparent assassination on foot or from a car, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a deterioration of morals and ethics and values in our nation on a rapid-fire, very, very, very quick basis. And so with that being said, again, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. How do we, as a people, obey the Scripture, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots? How do we obey the Scripture? Be ye thankful. How can a person be thankful when we see all these things taking place? I'm going to tell you, we cannot be thankful if we keep our eye on the problem rather than on the problem solver. It's an impossibility to be thankful when we look at the problem rather than looking at the source of the resolution of that problem. I believe one of the major, major, major problems that we're faced with today is the need for revival, a need to turn back to God, a need to recognize that God is the only answer and can provide the only hope for a deteriorating, imploding nation as we're watching. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Are you thankful today? In view of all that we see happening in the world, all that we see happening in America, all that is taking place to undermine faith, family, and our freedom, can you be thankful? Love to hear from you. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for in America? What are you thankful for as you see the things taking place on such a rapid-fire basis out of the White House, out of this administration? How can we be thankful? What should the focus be? Love to hear your thoughts, your position, your point of interest on this subject. Thanksgiving, we are to celebrate with a thankful heart. Thanksgiving of what God has done for us. So, secondly, not only how can we be thankful when we see the ethics and the morals and the values and the Christians under assault, but when we are under attack, assault today from the socialist Marxist media, the deception about the war in the Middle East. No, it's not Israel's fault. It's the Islamic jihadist's fault that brought about the October 7th massacre. And yet we look at a poll. Headline says, disturbing poll on the majority of Muslim Americans. A recent poll conducted by the a foundation that a majority of the Muslim Americans believe that Hamas was justified in committing terrorist attacks against Israel. This article states, 57.5% of the Muslim Americans agreed that Hamas was justified in making Israel a part of their struggle for the Palestinian state, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, 57.5% of Muslim Americans. Now, the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. When we see this implosion of morals and ethics and values, when we see the focus of this younger generation not understanding what Israel is about, who Israel is, who they are, who gave them the land, how did they become the Israelites as a nation? Did man give them the land or did God? It is because we have an educational system, an academic system, a system of academia today where the socialist, Marxist, communist professors are brainwashing our kids into believing that America is bad, that the family is bad, that the family unit is bad, that God's word is not to be believed, and that simply believing what the Marxists tell them. And as a result of that, we're seeing the crumbling of the foundation of our once great nation. It's a disturbing poll. It's a disturbing view that we're looking at. But hope is not lost. Hope is not all gone. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the danger, in the midst of the devastation that we see taking place, God is still on the throne. God is still sovereign. God is still in control of all that we see in this whole world. I'm looking at a headline. New York Muslim rant. Islam will invade every home. Islam is the only correct religion. I've shared this article on the air before, but at the risk of redundancy, may I read a brief paragraph or two. Social media is delivering a verbal spanking to a Muslim man who went on the rant in New York about Islam, demanding that Islam invade every home because Islam is the only correct religion. The rant said this: we're done hiding. We're done. We're done being tortured. We're done being hurt. We're done being judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all humanity needs to be upon of Islam. It is sad, ladies and gentlemen, when we see that seeming to dominate the headlines today, that seems to dominate the media, the Marxist media today, that somehow, some way, Islam and the movement of the jihadist is the right move. We're watching the deterioration, the undermining, the tearing down of the foundation. And Psalms 11:2 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're watching the implosion, the destruction of the very foundation of the United States of America. So, ladies and gentlemen, with all of that being said, with that what we see taking place, can we truly be thankful when we experience a continual assault by our own government, when we watch the continual push for the morals and the ethics and the values of the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle and its agenda permeating society with taxpayer dollars? How can you be thankful? How can we be thankful? What should we say or do in response to that, ladies and gentlemen? I believe we need to understand what is truly taking place. Looking at a headline, thanking the Almighty God, the first Thanksgiving. I'll read a portion of this. Then in a moment, I'm going to read Governor William Bradford's proclamation 400 years ago for the pilgrims and the celebration of the first Thanksgiving in America. This article dated November the 24th of a year ago. Thanking the Almighty God, the first Thanksgiving, the first official Thanksgiving proclamation by Plymouth Colony Governor William Bradford 400 years ago provides a key insight into the true meaning of the holiday. Most people don't realize that in the first year the pilgrims suffered greatly, and by the first harvest, only 53 out of the original 102 survived. Only four of those being adult women. 127 more pilgrims arrived from England that year stabilizing the population. But to show the difficulty of the life at Plymouth, the colony only grew to 200 total by 1630. With the scene set, the first unofficial Thanksgiving, November 1621, was a pretty dismal affair, as the pilgrims suffered from a bad harvest, and most of the seeds they had brought from England had failed to produce the crop. The article reads further, today's Thanksgiving celebration has another tragedy that the pilgrims could not have foreseen. The tragedy is that many Americans have forgotten who we are and who we should give thanks to, and that is Almighty God. As William Bradford writes, we aren't giving thanks to our friends. We're not giving thanks to our neighbors, our husbands, our wives, even our benevolent bosses. We're giving thanks to God for all that He's provided, in sickness or in health, in wealth or in deprivation. It doesn't matter. Every life is blessed in some way. The pilgrims were virtually wiped out by disease, by freezing cold, by starvation. And into that hardship, they gave thanks to God, who delivered them and delivers all of us if we accept His Son, Jesus Christ. This article finally states, it is my sincere hope and prayer that this Thanksgiving, while we are preparing for a feast, that we will remember who the true founder of the first feast is, that is Almighty God. The same God who the pilgrims praised is the God we praise today and give thanksgiving for what He's provided for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, be ye thankful. Are you thankful? What are you thankful for? Love to hear your brief word of testimony of your thankfulness, what you're thankful for, even in the midst of what seems like, hear me, in the midst of what appears to be and seems like to most minds, a hopeless, helpless situation in our nation. Yet we need to be thankful. The Scripture commands it. Be ye thankful. We're going to look at several passages in relationship to Thanksgiving. We're going to look at why we should be thankful, how often we should be thankful, and what should promote and cause that thanksgiving in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. All we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is look back some 400 years, and see what the governor of the colony said. Governor Bradford's first Thanksgiving proclamation. We're going to read that in just a moment, and I believe it is needful today for us to do as the old song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It's an old song, count your many blessings, and I believe that it's needful for us to do that even today. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, are you thankful? What are you thankful for? How do we celebrate that? It's not turkey days, as some like to call it. It's good to be with family. It's good to celebrate with a good meal. But it's not turkey day. It's a celebration and a praise to God for what He's done, what He is doing, what He shall do for us. Thanksgiving. Be ye thankful. Can Americans truly be thankful knowing that the 2020 election was stolen and that perhaps the 2024 election shall be stolen? Should we be thankful even in the face of all that is taking place? America must see the reality of where we are as a nation. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to thank the Lord for what He has done, for what He is doing, for what He shall do. I believe it's not a hopeless situation. We need to thank Him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll be back as we continue to talk about the subject, be ye thankful. This Thanksgiving, are you thankful? What are you thankful for? We'll talk about that further right after the break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville,